Alrighty, let's open our Bible today to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 14 to 26. James 2, 14 to 26. And we're going to look at the subject of what faith does. Last week we looked at how faith works. We've been kind of on a faith series to some degree. This is very foundational. As we know in the Bible school, that's the first series that Dr. Jim wants us to show, because it's foundational and be able to understand that. So I try to come back to preaching on faith at least once, if not twice a year, usually just once. But, you know, have you ever wondered, I do sometimes, why the things of God may not be working in my life the way they should be? You know, I know what I read, and I know what's happening. I don't know about you, I think about that. Why isn't it working sometimes? You know, I think we sometimes need to get from being a professing Christian to being a possessing Christian. You know, it's about possession. It's not about what we say. You know, anybody can talk a good game, and that's the start of it in our faith walk. But, you know, we need to get to the place where we start to possess. And as I mentioned, we looked at, you know, last week how important it was to define what we're focusing our faith on. Remember, we looked at blind Bartimaeus? Here's a blind man. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? It's kind of obvious. But yet Jesus wanted him to define it. And we had to learn how to do that. And this week we're going to see the importance of putting our faith in action. Okay. James chapter 4, or chapter 2, verse 14. It says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and the result of the works, faith was perfected. That's a key. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Verse 26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage, Lord, that brings balance to our life, to help us to understand the deeper things of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We just don't want to settle for what we have, but Lord, we know that you have so much more. And help us to reach out and to be able to understand how we can attain all the good things that you've given us for free, Lord. And Lord, I yield right now to the gift you put inside of me. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And again, Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal the word in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, James was the half-brother of Jesus, okay? They had the same mother, but not the same father, right? We know that Jesus' father is God. James, on the other hand's father was not God. Now, James was called as an apostle, and what he's talking about here, James, to me, is the counterweight information to an extremely out-of-balance grace message. Because sometimes that's what happens. You know, Christians have a tendency to live in extremes. You know, we usually grab a hold of some revelation and we run with it, and we don't really take a step back and look at the balanced message of what God's actually trying to tell us in Scripture. And grace, to me, was never meant to be an excuse not to have an active Christian life. Also, our works, on the other hand, cannot save us. So you got to have a balance. See, you got to keep both those thoughts in your head as you're looking at things. You know, it's not that you can't, the works can't save you, but you still got to have works operating in your life. And it's a balance that we need to be able to learn how to do. Now, James says that if we have faith, it must be followed up by corresponding action. Corresponding action is important in our life. And James would probably say that being a Christian is more than wearing a t-shirt. You know what I mean? We all have good t-shirts. I love some of my Christian t-shirts. I really got some cool ones, you know, that's been given to me. You know, one of my favorite ones, I can't fit into it. I'm, you know, losing some weight, but I don't think I'll ever make it. It's back when I weighed 150, I wore this one, and that day ain't happening, I don't think. And it says, get on your knees and fight like a man. Amen. You know, talking about prayer, the importance of prayer. You know, and the idea that we need here to understand is the balance that we have to have. So as I'm talking about works here, it's not about, you know, showing God how good you are, but it's an outward manifestation of a life with God, doing the things that God has called us to do. And those things need to line up. Now, in our culture today, there's an out-of-balance grace message being preached, and it cycles ever, you know, several hundred years, where that message comes out and people just, you know, I'll be honest with you, it is kind of cool if you get to do whatever you want, right? How many wouldn't join that church? You know, give me a break. Do whatever you want, whenever you want, or don't do anything. It's all right. It's grace. And see, it is grace, but it's not the proper application of God's grace. And that's why, you know, we need balance in our life, and that's why it's smart to stay connected in church. You know, I try to bring balance. I'd like to eat, you know, certain things. Some of you like your favorites, right? You know, but you got to eat other stuff too. If you're not a vegetable person, you need vegetables because they're good for you. You know, you just can't eat the stuff you want all the time. So that's why we need balance. And that's what James was doing here. He was bringing a balance to the church. Evidently, they needed to hear this. That maybe they were off on a tangent. And that's what some of this things written in Scripture is that the writers were trying to correct a wrong thinking in the followers of Christ. And that's what we have to do sometimes. That's why we need each other. We all need to be a part of something big in ourselves. We just can't, you know, I know people that have their certain TV or radio preachers they listen to and they don't listen to anything else. And that's fine to follow certain things, but you need to follow Christ and not follow the person. You know, and that's why you need a balanced diet in your life spiritually as well as physically. Now, James was talking about the idea of how important it is that faith is expressed in a practical way. I believe faith sometimes needs to be a verb. Many times we look at faith as a noun, meaning it's an object or a thing. But faith needs to be action, a verb that is going out and doing things. And once we catch the revelation from God of what it is to be a verb and the action that we do, then we start to be able to experience God in a way that a lot of people never do. See, it's more than just joining a club. It's a living and active relationship with Jesus Christ. And James was understanding that all the apostles poured their lives into the church. Most of them all died for the church. Now, I'm not asking, you know, for suicide missions right now. You know, maybe later. But, I mean, we can still live for God. You know, most people make the mistake, I'll die for Jesus, but they won't live for Him. Amen. You know, first we've got to live for Him before even comes to the forefront that we're willing to lay our life down for Him. So living for Him and what all that entails. And I know many of you are already doing this. But, you know, I know for me, I can get off a little bit and I can be more concerned about moving a mountain. You know, bless God, I'm a mountain mover. Versus maybe buying food for your neighbor or doing something kind. You know what I mean? You know, it's just something that we sometimes get off on where we're so busy trying to do the big things for God because we want to see Him glorified, that we forget that God is also glorified in the simple things. The simple things of maybe making a meal for a neighbor or doing something like this, helping somebody that needs, you know, something in our life that we have the power to do. You know, we can't help everybody, but we can help somebody. You know, I believe that's how we grow and how we start to learn. And sometimes as we're doing that, now we need to do both. I'm not going to abandon my mountain moving deals, you know what I'm saying? Because I still know they need done, you know? But we need to walk in both and start to do some practical application to what we do. You know, when I was putting this together, I pictured a sloth. Have you guys ever seen a sloth on TV? Or, you know, you maybe look them up on the internet or whatever. Sloths are kind of characters, ain't they? You know, that's why we get called slothful sometimes. Because a sloth can sleep up to 18 hours a day. Man, that's a good job, ain't it? And really, sloths, most of them don't have natural predators for the most part. But there's a few that try to go after them. But they have some big claws, and really, it's kind of odd. Sloths spend most of their life hanging upside down because their claws will dig into the branch, and they'll lay there, and their primary diet's leaves, and there's a plenty of access to this kind of tree they like to eat. It's even been said that when a sloth dies, he dies in that position and just hangs there until maybe something finally decays and gives way and the claws come off. A sloth will only move when necessary. So they don't move very fast. And when they do move, they really, like I say, are slow. And this is what's odd to me. Moss grows on them. That's how much they don't move. Now, can you picture, as a Christian sometimes, hopefully, you know, I think we ought to check the north sides of our body. And if you check your north side of your body right now, that's north, for those of you who are directionally challenged. And see if you got some moss growing on you. You know, check it out. We don't want to be a sloth. Now, we can't do everything, like I said, but we can do something. You know, God's called us to do something. You know, I know Denise, my wife, she is always doing something for somebody. I mean, she's always taking food over to the neighbor. I mean, she lost her husband a while back. And, you know, she's always doing something. Just little acts of kindness. And that's just how she rolls. You know, and it's good. I learn from her. It brings me back to balance because we're opposites. You know, we're opposite as you get. And so it's kind of good for each other. It can bring some interesting times, but also some blessings. So, yeah, the practical side of what James is talking about here is the idea of the opportunity to be a living witness. It's one thing to tell people about Jesus, in my opinion, but it's another thing to show people about Jesus. And that's this balance, isn't it? You know, we need to be able to share, give a testimony, but also we need to understand the idea that, you know, sometimes they just have to be shown how to do it or what Jesus is all about and how that does. And I know we get kind of busy and stuff happens, but, you know, I think that in order to grow and stay strong, that we need to live out our faith in a viable way. And I'll be honest with you, if I'm really thinking about it, I'm probably get a little more of the goosebumps feelings about Jesus Christ when I help somebody giving them food or maybe giving them what they need versus moving a mountain. Because it's a tangible outlet for my faith to be manifested when I do those acts of kindness and these things that need to be done. But when I move a mountain, a lot of times it's a spiritual thing and it's just a different way. And like I said, we need both, you know, operating in our life. Now, I know we get tired. I don't know about you, I get tired sometimes. You get busy. You know, you're working. You know, how many's life, if you really admit it, don't raise your hands, but how many of your lives will be this, that you go to work, you go to the couch, and then you go to bed. You wake up, you go to work, you come home, you go to the couch, and you go to bed. And it's a cycle, isn't it? We can easily get into that because you're wore out, you're stressed out. I know there's other things, activities that we squeeze in there, but you know, if we really were honest and tried to sum up our life, it can get like that. Where we just get into that cycle and we need to break out of that cycle and look for some other opportunity, you know, what God can do and shake it up in our life. Because I believe that, you know, faith needs to be always looking to fulfill a need. And we're out there wanting to do something for Jesus. And I feel that, you know, faith needs to be action as we're out there. You know, maybe you need to get a plan for your life on how you can better express your faith and whatever that, and we're going to go over a few ideas here at the end of the message. You know, but I believe that, you know, faith is always looking to change a situation. And that's what faith does. Faith is never satisfied with the status quo. You know, many times we do that work, couch, bed thing, and we end up living the we're dissatisfied. Nothing changes. And I'll be honest, I've went through this in my own life, cycling, you know, with Jesus and everything that has to go on. And I compartmentalize things, and, you know, and then I get into that cycle and it's hard to break out of it, you know, but faith wants to break that mold. Faith wants to do something different, to make a difference in somebody else's life. And really that's part of what we need to do. Now, you know, what I always come back to in my life is that I know I'm not set. Now, I'm not a hard keeper. I don't have to have new stuff to be happy. You know, that's not what I'm talking about here. But just because things are like they are doesn't mean that's how they were supposed to be. I don't believe that. I don't believe that just because things are the way they are, they have to stay that way. I believe that God has placed inside of you and placed inside of me the potential to be able to break out of that situation, to be able to change that circumstance, to be able to grab a hold of His Word and to be able to do something different, to be able to see change happen for the better. And I believe that's what our world needs, is change for the better. Now, verse 22, remember it said that Abraham's faith was perfected by his works. Now, there has to, and that's a beautiful picture. Now, in that application, Abraham was asked to offer up his son. He'd been waiting a long time for a kid, you know, and it's very important to him. And God had promised. Well, we know that he jumped the gun, and along came an Ishmael. But then finally, the covenant kid came. And when the kid came, after the kid became a teenager, all of a sudden God tested him and said, I want you to offer up your son. Abraham said, oh God, you don't really mean that. Nah. God, my God had never asked me to do something like that. No. Abraham took him at his word. But in his heart, he knew God would intervene, because this was the promise. God is either going to have to raise him from the dead or intervene somehow, because he knew that God was kept his word. And Isaac was the promised child. Well, he was tested. He went through with it. And then we know the story, God intervened. But it says that Abraham's faith was perfected. It wasn't perfected by him just reading or hearing and talking to God. But he had to actually act out and follow through with the commandment that God had given him. So our faith is perfected as we act upon God's word. Now, God will speak to you and I. He may tell us different things. It's all good. You don't walk my walk, I don't walk your walk. Our walks are similar. We're all heading the same direction. But our walks might be a little bit different. So that's why we need to be obedient and follow what exactly it is that God has for our life. Now, there's going to be opportunities. When an opportunity presents itself, we have a choice to make. We either respond in faith or we walk away with doubt and unbelief. That's just a choice. So hopefully we're going to get to the place in our walk, in our life with God, where we have the response that God wants us to have, and we follow Him. And then I believe me, our faith is going to be perfected, and we're going to be in a deeper place, a better place in our walk with God. Now, how do you apply some of these things that we've talked about a little bit? I'm going to wrap up the series today, and we're going to go off on another topic. But I believe that, number one, we need to pick a promise from God's word and do it. Just pick a promise. When God promises, He doesn't lie. And we pick a promise on what God's wanting us to do. And we're going to go into a few ideas here in a minute, just exactly some opportunities that God's placed our way. Now, remember, faith is meant to be active and not passive. It's not like it's how much faith you have in the bank. It's how much faith you distribute to the world. Look at it from that perspective. Most of us are hoarders. You know, we like to get a pile and we like to add to the pile, don't we? Get a big pile. Now, I want a big pile so I never run out. Faith doesn't work that way. Faith grows when it's released and given out. Then we start, God, it talks about being a doer of the Word of God. So as we do that, That's how that starts to work. You know, next we need to break the sedentary lifestyle. Get involved with something. Simple as that. Just get involved. Break that sedentary work couch bed. Work couch bed. It can be work, go help somebody, be involved, you know, ministering to somebody, then go to bed. Just break it. Just break the cycle once a week. Look for something. And just so happens, I have a few ideas. You know, as we seek to be in blessing instead of just being blessed, because that's the tendency, is just to be blessed, here's some options we could do. Number one, you can offer to do yard work for an elderly person. We're coming up in a time, you know, the leaves are going to be falling off. You know, as you get older, you kind of notice things don't work as good in your body. Well, maybe you can offer, you know, to maybe help rake the leaves or do something for them to be a blessing. Number two, volunteer to babysit for free for a young couple so they can go out on a date. Maybe you have a neighbor or somebody you know, a friend, and you know they're kind of stressed. You know them from work or whatever the case may be. And you say, hey, you guys haven't been out for a while. You kids need to go out and have some fun. I'll watch the kids for nothing. I'll come over to the house. I'll watch them tonight. You know, you guys just go have some fun. That's being a blessing. That's faith in action. You know, and then, you know, invite them to church then. No, just kidding. Number three, offer to read at a nursing home. It's a captive audience, you know. They're not going anywhere. They got alarms out there, man. I set that alarm off every time I go out there. You know, I don't read the paper. I just took it for granted. Out at Oakwood, you're supposed to punch it in backwards than what it is. I forgot that. I was out there, beep, 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 beep. You know, sets off the alarm all the time. You got to watch me like a hawk. You just never know what might happen. I know with the alarm going off, the nurses out there, they were just kind of laughing and they let me kind of hang there a little bit before they come over and shut it off. But, you know, them things kind of happen from time to time. The next thing you can do is you can offer to do a Bible club for your neighborhood kids. Our culture is filled with people who do not want their kids to go to church for whatever reason. Maybe they're afraid that they'll have to go themselves, so they're never going to darken a church door. But, you know, they may come to your house, and just so happens that we have a lot of curriculum left over from our Sunday program that you can be able to take, and you can offer to maybe do some of these Bible clubs with them and be able to get the gospel of Jesus Christ in these kids' hearts. And then, you know, they'll have some information to take home, and you never know, that information may trickle and be able to touch the parents' hearts, so they want to give their hearts to Christ. The next thing you can do, you can also cook a meal and for someone who has health issues. Maybe they got home from a hospital or maybe they're not feeling well. And, you know, you can be a real blessing to them that way, to be able to take a meal over to the house and, you know, and be able to know them. And just that act of kindness opens a lot of doors for people, and it gives us an opportunity to speak the word into their life. Now, all these ministries just require a couple things. Number one, they require your time, because you're going to have to put a little effort into them as you release your faith and to do these acts of kindness. But also, it may require just a little bit of your money if you need to buy food or different items to help somebody in need. But as you do this, you know this, that whatever you give out, God is going to give back to you. And God's going to make a big difference in your life because you are making a difference in the lives of somebody else. And the attitude that we use when we go into this is, number one, we need to know that we are already blessed. And as we're already blessed, then God has given us the ability to go out and be a blessing so we can bless others. And I just want to challenge you today to be able to use your faith. Don't let it be stagnant and set around, but Lord, just touch our hearts that we want to be able to go out and minister the life and love of Jesus Christ. As James said, we want to be able to perfect our faith with corresponding action. Let's pray.